Session number 27340, wheel 2.
Right, Vic's wheel 2. So, you were called up in 1944. Could you give me the details of what actually happened there, Frank?
I was called up to serve in the Royal Navy to commence on the 26th of June 1944. It was entered under National Service brackets AP ACT, which I take it is National Service. I have no idea what AF or AP means, and I think after that it said ACT, which rather suggests accountancy for me, but I may be wrong.
Had you had any choice in which service you went into?
Yes, to a certain extent. The fact was that I had to go into sick bay when I first got to HMS Royal Arthur, which was at Skegness, just for observation, because I had some heat spots and they wanted to make sure that got something nasty, which lasted, I was in for about a couple of days, I think. In the meantime, all the friends I'd had in that joined at the same time as me had been interviewed by Wrens or Wren officers, and by questioning each individual, they determined to which branch of the service would be most suitable. So the fact was that my best friend, guy called Ray Fielding, who lived in Shipley, which of course is near to Bradford, we became quite friendly, and he'd been assessed to go in the supply division, and it was a branch of the service which I rather fancied myself, either that or being a writer, having been employed on clerical work right from starting work. So the Wren officer interviewed me, asked various questions. I've no idea what she asked me, what my answer was, but I did express a preference to go into the supply division, and therefore I went in supply division. So whether it was because she felt me suitable or whether I volunteered for it, I have no idea, but it happened.
Prior to that, had you though actually any choice in going into the Royal Navy or the Army or the Air Force at that earlier stage, or were you just allocated to the Navy?
I was just allocated to the Navy, full stop. I was just pleased to go in the Royal Navy. I'd always had a sort of leaning in that direction, and it just so happened that I did. I didn't express any preference when I registered for National Service at all.
And you reported to HMS
Royal Arthur, which is Butlin's holiday camp at Skegness.
What was the camp like?
Like a holiday camp, but not like a holiday camp. We had, as I recollect, two or three in a chalet, and I can't honestly remember how many it was. And I think more or less we could choose who we had, as sort of, in other words, three friends would probably get together, and they were very flexible about it, and that was that. It was in June, of course, and the weather was rather glorious, and not having ever worn a hat, going ashore, I felt really uncomfortable with a hat on, which is a peak cap, looked a bit like a taxi driver. And we went into Skegness, and woe betide you if you had the audacity to take your hat off whilst you were walking about. That just wasn't allowed. So you just perspired profusely. And I remember going to Skegness and walking about and sort of going to, I think Nafi places to have a meal whilst what was described on shore, and on shore was the difference between being in the camp and outside it. The one thing that I do impress me, or did impress me, was the fact that on Sunday mornings we had what he describes in the Navy as divisions, which time we used to march round innumerable times to the Royal Marine Band, and what appeared to be crowds of people seemed to come to watch us, and there we were marching round, swinging our arms, looking smart hopefully, and to martial music, which is very touching in its way. It's the first time you've ever done it, and you sort of rather emotional, sort of emotion goes through your mind, and it's an unusual sort of thing that has never happened to you before.
When you'd arrived, were you fitted for a uniform at that stage?
As I recall, we were given our uniforms very early on. I can't, and it was one of the first things that happened. The first thing that did happen was, in fact, you were measured for your uniform, and your hat, and your shoes, or your boots, as it was then, and all your kit, socks, underwear. It was all sort of on a list where you went to collect it, and your size was there, and it was all arranged before you. And I suppose you look reasonably smart, I think. Yes, I think we look reasonably smart.
How did the pattern of training start? What was the first things that you did?
Well, basically, it's what you call basic training, which is marching up and down and keeping in line and learning the drill and how to about turn and how to form fours and how to eyes left and eyes right and salute the ensign as you went into what was described as the quarter deck, even though it was tarmac adam, and you had to salute, and if you didn't salute you were in trouble. You just saluted the flag. Nobody in particular, just the flag.
And how did you take to drill?
Well, I think the fact that I've got rhythm in my bones, I found it quite easy. Some of the recruits were unable to sort of march to time. They put the right foot where the left foot should be, and then they had a tendency to swing their arms back to front and sort of lose control of them somehow. And you can actually see it on even now, certain marches, people marching. I think it's most evident now at the Remembrance Service in November. There's always one, two, or maybe half a dozen people that get onto the floor, and you can see that they're not with it at all in marching. They can't control their arms in relation to the legs, and it's one of those things that either comes naturally or doesn't.
Who took you for this drill?
I remember his name. He was a leading seaman with at least 3 years' service, and his name was Robinson. And he had been chosen to be commissioned. There was an expression for it, and to be honest, I just can't remember what it was called. It had a name. It was whatever it was. Very nice man. And he did it and trained us all throughout this we were class 176, which I suppose it was the 176th class of some description that had been through Royal Arthur before me.
While you were there, did you do any physical exercise as well?
Oh, yes, indeed. I think it was more the sort of physical training, which is sort of the conventional bending, stretching and this sort of thing, but with no, as I recall, with no sort of running about in full army kit. This didn't happen until I went on to another establishment in Malvern, which was called HMS Duke.
So at Royal Arthur, were you just literally learning drill and a little bit of exercise and getting used to being in the Navy?
That's right. With no actual, as I recall, any training relating to work in the supply division, as it was then.
Did you do any seamanship at Royal Arthur?
Seamanship, I think we did a little bit. We didn't. We were taught various aspects of the Navy, the names, and various matters relating to naval procedures and this sort of thing, such as the parade ground and saluting officers and divisions, which you do every morning, and you there was an assembly every morning, and a service every morning. When I say a service, I mean a religious service. And as I recall, the padre took a service, and at that point I don't think there was any hymn singing. That came in each Sunday when we went to a church in Skegness, dependent upon your
religion,
yes. Did they call it religion? Yes, somewhere. I was what's described as UB, which meant United Board. In other words, I wasn't Church of England, I wasn't Roman Catholic. You had to be Roman Catholic, Church of England, United Board. I don't think they took into consideration any other religion at all. And of course, it wasn't necessary, I wouldn't have thought.
What about messing facilities at Royal Arthur?
Messing facilities were poor, really. We had to assemble in the huge dining hall, and it was huge. And I don't know how many classes were in at that time, but there was a lot of ratings, and we all assembled and just as I recall, just got your food on a plate when you went to the galley. I haven't much recollection of what the food was like, although I don't think it was too good. We sort of looked forward to going ashore and getting something ashore.
Were you allowed ashore right from the start of your training, or did you, was there a period where you were confined?
There was a period when you were confined to barracks, as it were, but I think that was possibly, I don't know what day it was I joined, but I seem to recall that we were allowed out at the weekend, and then on Sundays we had church service, and then after dinner, we were allowed leave up to something like 10 o'clock, I think. Where we... excuse me. I think we're allowed out until 10 o'clock. And of course, at that time it was still daylight, double summer time, I think, at that time. So we, I suppose we went to the pictures. I think also we perhaps went to a church service if there were sufficient of us interested in it, which I was at that time. And Ray Fielding, he was. And yes, I recall one friend I made, he was, he'd joined the Navy, and his intention was to become a Wesleyan parson afterwards. I've not seen him since.
How long were you at Royal Arthur?
I joined Royal Arthur on the 26th of June and went to HMS Duke in Malvern on the 24th of August.
How did the training differ when you got to HMS Duke?
The training at Duke was more related to seamanship, more intensive physical training, going for a run and walk over Malvern Hills, fully kitted, carrying bags and rifles and so on, which was very exhausting. And of course we had lots of competitive games between different divisions of the ship. I think there were four divisions, which are four separate units in the camp, and we were just a lot of disciplinary, a lot of lectures on the Navy, a lot of talks on the Navy by people who had been in action at D-Day and so on and so forth. A lot of it interesting. Malvern was a marvellous place to be in, delightful countryside, and very, very nice sort of place to be. There's a lovely church there, and there's one or two well-known girls' schools there, and we admired them from afar as we went to church, but that was about it.
Can I just take you through that little part in the training? You mentioned seamanship. What type of things were you learning there?
Well, next door to the naval base was a large's house whose grounds had been taken over for production of vegetables and food, but also it had a large lake, and on that lake we learnt to crew a rowing boat or a motor, and not driven by a motor, it was I think it was described as a pinnace, but I'm not sure about that. And there was sort of, I think, an 8-man crew, each with one oar, with the cox, looking over, as in the boat race, and we rowed all over this lake. The idea was, of course, to sort of teach you how to row and row in time and not catch what was the expression?
A crab,
yes, not catch a crab, that's right. And there was that.
How difficult is it to do to get eight people to row well together?
It's not easy, because there's always one. There's always one who doesn't take to it. For reasons that I don't really know, I was chosen as the stroke. So I sat immediately in front of the boat and immediately in front of the cox. And I don't think the cox did much other than sort of work the rudder. I don't think he was sort of shouting out as they do in the Oxford and Cambridge boat race. The timing, it was just a question of take your time from the one at the front, and there's always somebody a little bit behind at the back, But it was quite enjoyable, and then we sort of were called upon to weed the garden where the crops were growing. And as I recall it, the house itself was occupied by two elderly ladies. So whether they were sort of sisters, I just don't know.
Did you do any sort of kind of basic signals training at all in that period?
We went through the alphabet in semaphore, but we sort of just familiarised ourselves with semaphore. We didn't actually take it as a that would have come later had we been in the particular section dealing with signals.
And what about things like knots? Did you do knots at all?
Yes, we did knots. The only one I now remember is a reef knot. There are all sorts of complicated. Well, I thought they were complicated because I wasn't very good at it. I could manage a reef knot, but all the others, I couldn't sort of get into how easy or how difficult it was to tie a knot. And I sort of found out how to sling a hammock and how to lash a hammock up, because there is a special way of doing it, which if you're given a hammock and you sort of, you can't leave it in a lump, you've got to lash it up from one end to another with I think it was called a lashing, and it had a loop in the end, which you started, and I think you did about 7 turns of the hammock as tight as possible. And then, of course, you had to, on a ship, it became necessary to stack it in a corner so it didn't take up too much room.
How were you instructed in tying knots? Was there a special technique for it?
Yes, I recall that it wasn't a sort of a thing that went on continuously. It was just sort of one session, and there was a chart which showed what this was, what that was, and I can't remember the names, cleats and reef knot, granny. No, I just can't remember them because I never used it at all afterwards. It was just to give you an idea of this happened, because within the division that I was in, I don't actually think there were any others that's that one.
Were you going to say it was supply?
As far as I recall, it was entirely supply.
So would you have been almost expected then just to have a sort of working knowledge of things like knots, that sort of thing, rather than it being a major thing that you would do?
There's a photograph here, the HMS Duke, and they were all in the supply division except for 2, 4, 6, 7, and I can't remember what those were. Could have been coders, I'm not sure. But as you see, they're all sort of got taxicab hats on, except those in the middle. And I can't remember why they were, you know, why these seamen were in us with us at all.
In the supply division then, as you were training, you wore a different headgear then from
Oh, yes, completely different uniform. You'll see it here.
Well, could you describe it to me very quickly, what the uniform was for the supply division training?
Well, the supply division in training was a peaked cap, a single-breasted suit, a white shirt and collar, a black tie, blue socks, black boots, one pair of which you had studs put in for drilling in, studs in the bottom, whereas the other divisions, and the supply division I must add was covers writers, supply assistants, or what is known as stores assistants, cooks, whereas the seamen were dressed in the conventional sailor's uniform, which is the flat cap, a shirt, a collar, and a jersey, and trousers which had a sort of, I don't know, 22 inch or thereabouts.
Flare
at the bottom.
So with your training, did any of your training differ then later while you were a Duke into a specific supply
duty?
Not at that stage.
We were at Duke from the 24th of August, we got there on the 25th, to the end of September. I think we're at Duke 2 months, 25th of September.
One of the things that you mentioned was that the increasing physical activity and carrying a rifle. Did you do any rifle training there at all?
I'm pretty sure that we did rifle shooting. Went to a rifle range, I think this was at Duke, and prior to joining the Navy, I was in the Home Guard for a short time, so I'd done a certain amount of rifle shooting there.
What kind of level of degree of shooting would you have to be knowledgeable to?
Well, how to load a rifle, and sort of how to aim and at what point on the target to aim at, because when you shoot a rifle it kicks, therefore you've got to aim below the bull to hit the bull, hopefully. And having been in the Home Guard, I've become quite proficient at it, really.
Did you do any other form of training at that stage? Would you have done like bayonet training?
Oh yes, you've reminded me. Yes, we had a sort of a dummy German, which I think he had a hat on to sort of be recognisable as the enemy, and you approached it. And dependent on what he did, in effect, he didn't do anything. You had to pretend he was going to hit you with something. So you put your rifle up at that angle, and then you got it around and bayoneted him. And, you know, it was a bit of a skylark, really, which I haven't used for a long time, that expression. But yes, we did. Yes, yes, having sort of been prompted at that, I remembered it. Yes, we did.
And who were the instructors while you were at Duke?
At Duke, we had a leading seaman and a sub-lieutenant who was effectively our class commanding officer. Inevitably, there were the ones above it who were responsible for the entire camp, sort of captain and commanders and various divisions, supply division, and responsible for different departments of the training, which other than the supply division, I didn't come in contact directly with any of them. But I noticed from the photograph that we all wore puttees then, which were used presumably to stop our trouser bottoms flapping, but that wasn't as much, didn't affect us very much as it would a naval rating. And one of the other things that we had to do whilst we were at Malvern is go ashore as what were described as police, or not described as police, but that's what they were. They saw to it that they could go anywhere and discipline anybody, a rating anyhow, who perhaps misbehaved. And one of the things I do remember is that you could go only, it was a one-way passage.